Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. Really excited today. Today, we have a special edition of the show, and we're breaking down Susie Orman's advice, and it goes a little something like this. Get a job, get a 401k, put the money into Wall Street for the next 40 to 50 years, and then plan on retiring. And then maybe you get a college, you know, fund and these other money saving things going, and let's see how it goes. Trust the system. Gino, what say you?
Jake, first thing I would tell everyone to do is go listen to MJ DeMarco. We had him on the podcast twice. Ooh. And MJ DeMarco rips it. I mean, he rips the system. He talks about the slow lane, the fast lane. And I love his advice because it's the advice that all the listeners that we have on our show, it's wanting to become an entrepreneur and wanting to live an abundance mindset and want to become wealthy. Now, I want to go through Susie's story. An amazing story. I mean, she started out, she tried to open a restaurant. She got money from investors, $50,000. Then she actually took some advice to put money into a trading fund in Merrill Lynch. She lost the money. She ended up going to work for Merrill Lynch as a trader, learned the whole system. She ends up opening up her own shop, but she pays back all her investors. So, I mean, great ethics, great morals, paying them back, working really hard, working through the system. And I really respect her for that. I mean, she's a hardworking lady.
It sounds like the opposite of the advice, though.
Well, let's get into that really quick. Where did Susie make her money? She made a lot of money on Wall Street, peddling stocks, bonds, mutual funds. But she's written how many books, Jake? Look at me. 10 books. I mean, that is churning it out, baby. She's had shows. She's a personality. She owns tons of real estate, some real estate in the Bahamas. That doesn't sound like you're making money from a 401k and making money on dollar cost averaging to you, does it?
It sounds like to me that it's the traditional establishment mindset. Okay, get a job, give me the money to invest for you, wait for the 401k to season, and then you're going to have your money and retire. Looking at her career, though, that's not what she did. And it's almost promoting a scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset. Her actions, to me, are much different than her words. And I think that's where the misalignment's coming from.
Now, since we've talk about some of the negatives, let's do talk about some of the positives. The first thing that I really like what she talks about is people first and then money. Mm-hmm. You have to understand your relationship with money. And we all come from a different paradigm. People see the world as they are, not as it is. I had the scarcity mindset growing up. I was a son of an immigrant. I was taught to save, save, save. And then to save, save, save anymore. And then not to spend money. That was my blueprint.
Yeah, but Gino, there's a difference between saving and then putting your money into vehicles that you don't have access to. Okay, that's the thing that bothers me the most about the setup currently. Put it into these college plans. Put it into a 401k. But guess what? You're putting your baby money soldiers into jail, and you're locking them up to wither and die. You're not growing. They're not multiplying. You can't have babies in jail. That's what a 401k is. It's money prison. I'm sorry.
There's no control. And I agree. And my saving grace was my parents were at least intelligent enough to say, let's buy real estate. So I owned the restaurant. We had the 3 apartments upstairs. We had a little 4 unit. We had a mixed unit building. So we were buying real estate. And I realized, wow, stop saving money, Gino, to put kids to college for my retirement. Start buying these assets to pay for those events. And I think very few people on Wall Street will talk about that because they don't profit from it. And this whole notion with whole life versus term life. They don't want you to buy whole life because they want the money that's going into whole life to go into Wall Street, to go into the 401ks. Back in the 40s and 50s, over a third
Feed
of
the
households,
beast, baby.
Yeah, I don't know how many households had whole life. It was a form of savings for them. And it also perpetuated the legacy so that when I pass away, it goes to my heirs, my significant others. They're actually buying net worth when they die. Right now, if you're young, a term policy may be actually advisable for you. You may not have money to be able to put into a whole life, but at least buy a term life where you can convert it. Because you know life insurance is cheaper when you're younger. If you can convert it into whole life as you get older, that's the plan. And Jake and I have interviewed dozens of individuals with net worths of, you know, 10 million plus, and every single one of them has whole life. I can guarantee you a lot of them are not dollar cost averaging or have 401ks. They're not doing that. They're doing what other wealthy people are doing. There's rules of money. If you want to grow wealth, you're not locking your money up into a 401k plan where you're actually, you know, paying taxes after you start pulling money out. You want to pay taxes right now with the seed, so you know that money is paid. And then when you're able to retire and pull that money out, you know taxes, where are they going 20, 30 years from now? They're only going up. So mm-hmm. you have to think of it from that perspective as well.
Is the national debt growing or shrinking? It's clearly growing. Okay. Who's going to pay for that? The taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap, and the gap is widening. And I've never told you this story, Gino. When my grandfather passed away, and you talked about that generation prior, these are generation babies, depression babies, my grandparents, he would not have qualified for term insurance. He didn't have term insurance. He had whole life, though, and I didn't even know about it. And when he passed away, that was an asset for my grandmother. She has those funds still today. So it's made a positive impact, for my family, and I truly believe in it. So
think about that, Jake, for a second.
Yeah.
Your grandfather passes away. He leaves a legacy. Your grandmother, that's where he had money saved. Your grandmother doesn't have to worry about the funeral costs. I know your grandmother had to sell the house, so she didn't have to worry about, now that she sold the house, she's renting.
A lot of maintenance with that one, for sure. So that was a little bit beyond, but yes.
Right,
yes.
But I'm just saying, like, that's what
it
I would do.
It wasn't a financial thing. It was a maintenance type thing, right? But yeah.
Yes, and for me, to be able to have that cash value today, where I'm actually using the money to invest in real estate, to be able to borrow that money and to put it back and forth, the dual asset strategy, and then to be able to have that estate planning, that long-termism, where I know eventually that money is going to be utilized because I have an estate and my children are probably going to get hit with some type of estate tax that I can use the death benefit to pay for that estate tax. It really comes down to long-term planning. And right now, if I didn't have, and I did have term, and term expired, but I also had a whole. If I have to requalify now at an older age for a whole life, it's going to be A, number one, more expensive, and B, I may not even qualify for my health reasons. So for people to say term, you're only buying it for when your dependents need it. Oh, when you're younger and you're not making a lot of money, if something happens to you, that's short-term thinking. That is middle-class thinking. That's not wealthy mindset thinking, long-termism thinking. You're here. Hopefully, when you're in your 20s, you're going to be here for the next 50 to 60 years. Start planning accordingly and start thinking about the legacy that you want to leave.
Hey, we're getting a little off topic, but I just had a really interesting thought. Really, for real estate investors, it's more than this. And it truly is. I don't want to, undercut whole life. But whole life insurance, to a certain degree, for real estate investors is liquidity insurance. Real estate investors are very rich. They have high net worths. A lot of that money is in brick. Okay, and mortar and dirt. When you pass on, wherever you are in the market cycle, blah, 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 whole life provides immediate liquidity insurance if those taxes come up, if you're not set up properly in a state, if you don't have the proper trusts in place. So kind of an aha moment right there.
And
maybe should get you some.
Jake, what about the aha moment of short term? When you go into a real estate cycle that goes down and you mm-hmm. have payroll, and you have other expenses, and oh, wow, my gosh, I got to cover the roof. You have whole life, you've been funding it, you have cash value, and you can pull that cash value out to fix that roof or to do that driveway. And then all of a sudden it's done. You're got that loan. And then when market rebounds, bam. And Jake talked about baby money soldiers. Let me describe that to everybody really quick. A baby money soldier is the money that you have, and they're all little soldiers. Where are you putting that money? Where are you actually deploying that money? I have some baby money soldiers in my whole life policies. There's cash value there. It is a safety net. It's a great way for me to save money and to be able to access that money. So when I do have an opportunity, it's out. If you have your baby money soldiers all into 401ks and mutual funds, what happens? They're not
concentration
working.
Camps.
They're not working as efficiently, right? You can't take that money out, and you don't have control of your baby money soldiers.
You're stunting
Wall Street
their growth.
Has control. Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole idea. That's the whole premise. The whole tax system is against you with the baby money soldiers being in a 401k and being in mutual funds. So let's talk about that as well. Being able to have control of those baby money soldiers and being able to deploy them as quickly as possible into an opportunity has been really fortuitous for Jake and myself.
Think of the baby money soldiers in a 401k. Their only way they're reproducing is basically through appreciation, right? That's really what's happening. We don't even talk about appreciation with our baby money soldiers, really. Our baby money soldiers are getting tax benefits, they're getting cash flow, and they're getting refinances. And those are creating huge waves of free peoples, okay? These are not chain-bound to a 401k jail. These are free people, money soldiers, to go out and conquer and conquest and take on more. Big difference when it comes to baby money soldiers in jail versus free.
let me wrap this up, Stenzi, because I think, like you said, we went off topic, but it's good going off topic because you start thinking outside the box and you start coming up with ideas. We're not bashing Susie Orman. She has great advice for the middle class. I was using that advice.
Look at what she does, not what she says.
Yes. you're right. I was using that advice 25, 30 years ago. I had my 529. I had my 401k. And I'm saying to myself, my money's not growing. I'm not getting wealthy. Why
you weren't
is
growing.
It?
You were not growing.
Yes.
Your baby money soldiers were not growing.
Yes. Yeah. And then when I met you, I started to deploy the baby money soldiers, encapsulated that, have the whole life as my CapEx account right there, and as part of my estate to leave the legacy for my family as well. I have that as well. It's part of the plan. And hey, I haven't written 10 books yet, but writing 10 books, having shows, buying real estate, these are all things that middle class don't even espouse to do, but the wealthy. And for you listening on this show, it's not that hard. Once you get surrounded by the right people, once you start listening to the right advice, and once you start taking action with those people, you'll be amazed at what you can do. So for her to sit there and talk about Wall Street and put your money in 401ks and great for middle class, not great for the people listening to the show and for people aspiring to become wealthy.
I'm going to leave it there. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake Heiza, G-Daddy. And you can find out more about Baby Money Soldiers at 100YearREI.com. We'll see you next time. Gina, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jake.